Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Network. Now your host, Jason Miller.
My guest today is Dave Bottom, the Chief Information Officer at the Securities and Exchange Commission. Dave, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Jason. I'm glad to be with you this morning.
Now, it's been a while since we talked. I think the last time we spoke, you were over at the Homeland Security Department, INA. Now you're over at the SEC. You've been there a couple years now, if I remember correctly. Maybe two. Is that right?
Well, actually, I just finished my first year. I started with the SEC in last January, January 5th, to be exact. So a little bit more than a year.
All right. So I'm aging you. My apologies for that. But I'm glad you're able to take the time and talk today. We are talking about, in the first part of the show, about IT and business and kind of how they are coming together from a management perspective. So let's start right there. Let's discuss how you're managing IT as a business and where you and your CXO partners together, financial, obviously business views around investment projects, programs. How are you bringing that all together?
One way to go about that in the organization, which we are doing, is bring together all of the CXO partners on a pretty regular basis to discuss just those aspects, right? What are the business needs? What is the, both the technology and the people that we need? And then, what are the financial implications of that? So, how we have those deliberations in the SEC is built around two schedules. Certainly one is the budget planning process that we follow in the federal government, right? So making sure that we're having these conversations not only in the year of execution, but next year and certainly the year after that as we're building our recommendations for the president's budget. So having those discussions in the context of those 3 years, I found this particularly at the SEC is just critically important. And then as we go through the year of execution, so we do have a what we call an IT capital planning committee here at the SEC that manages all of that, both the multi-year and the year of execution. So as we develop our plan over the course of three years, we're managing the execution of that plan and then implications for that next year and for the year after. So as you might guess, we're just about at mid-year for this fiscal year. So, we'll be reassessing our plans and then the implications for FY22 and then, working with the agency leadership in terms of what our, request is going to be for FY23.
How often are you meeting with that CXO community? Is it monthly? Is it weekly? Is it more of an ad hoc, like, hey, we have a problem, let's meet, or a challenge or an opportunity?
When I first got here, I recommended and the CXOs agreed to a bi-weekly schedule as we set the I was getting familiar with the program, certainly with the business needs of the SEC. So the bi-weekly cadence was right, to put those initial plans into place. Now we're meeting, when we set the initial operating plan for this fiscal year in place this past October. For the past couple of months, we've been on a monthly cycle. And then I think that's probably where we'll stay as we address mid-year. We may have, go to a bi-weekly cadence again around, the end of March as we make our mid-year assessments and then go monthly again until we get to the end of the fiscal year.
As you walk through those meetings and you have them, what is the driving factor behind them, the discussions? Is it the business need? Does someone come to you and say, Dave, I saw this new shiny widget, let's get it? Walk me through maybe what some of those discussions are like.
It's absolutely always around business need. So as you can imagine, the SEC, pretty diverse in terms of needs across the agency, both internal to make sure that the commission has what it needs to do rulemaking and enforcement and exams. We also publish a lot of data or make a lot of data available to the public for them to make decisions. So again, a pretty diverse set of business needs that needs to be balanced and prioritized across the commission. So those the discussions that we have at the CXO level are we spend a lot of time on that, and then what are the implications for the underlying services, in the cost centers and the towers, from an infrastructure perspective, what are those underlying needs there? And then balancing those against, what are the modernization requirements for the infrastructure? What are the compliance costs for the infrastructure as we deal with, an evolving compliance landscape, from OMB? So that's, those are exactly the discussions that we're having at that CXO level.
I think it's important when you are talking with the CXO folks to have that kind of focus. What are the biggest challenges that you're running up against when you have those discussions? And I know the first one will probably be never enough money, but if we move beyond that one.
It's interesting you should say that. Lately the conversation is actually never enough people. So it's not often just a technology discussion. It's, do we have the right people actually to manage our investments and to operate our capabilities at the same time that we're trying to shift and be more responsive to the business? So a couple of examples of that is, from a commission perspective, like a number of different agencies have been, waterfall for, a long period of time in terms of our application development methodology. We are making the shift to Agile and DevOps. And what we found there is that, sometimes that's a little bit more people intensive, particularly if we're asking somebody to be a product owner or product, product manager, not project now, product owner or project manager and run an Agile team. We found we are more responsive to the business, absolutely, because the business is engaged every step of the way. But what we found is that that's an increasing time commitment. So making sure we have all of the right people and the right spots now is actually just as much a conversation item as we manage our IT as a business, as it's actually dollar resources. So certainly the conversation that I'm having most often now is, do we have enough right skilled people in the right spots to be able to execute the way that we want?
And it's a two-edged sword too. It's a combination of needing the headcount in the agency to say, we're going to hire 5 more people or 10 more people, but it's also, can we find them with the right skills and get them in? Because every other agency, every other tech business is saying, hey, we need a person who knows Agile or DevSecOps or is a Scrum Master. So you're really, there's two boulders you're really pushing uphill.
That's right. And that's why we're partnering with, that there's always the strategy of, bringing people in, absolutely. But there's also the strategy of, let's train and reskill or give folks additional skills in those areas, right? So, we can, work to, provide the necessary folks in that way as well. So we are partnered actually with, we have an SCC university, we're partnered with in order to give people training opportunities. And I'd also say, in terms of those opportunities, particularly certainly focused on Agile right now, if you're a product owner running an Agile team, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be in the IT shop, right? It's maybe more important that, the person that's leading that team and making those trade-off decisions actually is coming from the business. I call it the major minor issue, right? So we want to, from a product owner standpoint, particularly as we're working new development applications, we want somebody that's grounded in the business, understands the business, and we can surround the person with folks that know IT. To your point, a Scrum Master, somebody that's working to make sure that the developers are cranking along. But what we're grappling with now, I think, as is any other organization, is it's really now important to have that type of expertise in the business units, in addition to having that expertise in the IT shop.
And that's going to obviously lead to better decision making, because they're going to understand both sides of the coin. Versus, I don't really understand IT, or I really don't understand the business side, and then bad decisions potentially are made. Is that something that the business folks are happy to learn, or the vice versa? Is that something that the IT folks are happy to learn, that other side of the coin?
Yeah, I think it's both. The important thing is to give people the opportunities to get those skills, and then opportunities to practice those skills. So it's, my daughter actually just got her learner's permit. So it's kind of that's the analogy I have in my head. It's, we have the learner's permit, right? So we ask somebody to take on that, I'll just continue on the product owner theme here for a minute. we ask people to take on that role. We, you know, want to give them the skills to be successful, right? The grounding to be, you know, to be successful. And then it's a matter of experience. I would say that's it takes, you know, a special type of person that wants to take on those skills and learn by doing. And then the other challenge is that's also an opportunity cost in terms of, well, they're not doing something else. And most often, if not all of the time, what they're not doing is also very important. So that trade-off of, well, yeah, as we talk about those opportunity costs is also something, you know, an active conversation that we're having with our partners in the divisions and offices.
Dave, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we can continue our conversation. My guest today is Dave Bottom, the Chief Information Officer at the Securities and Exchange Commission. I'm Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Apptio on Federal News Network.
Here's Gary Hicks, the Chief Technology Officer at Hitachi Vantara Federal on Digital Discovery, the future of maximizing your return on data, sponsored by Hitachi Vantara Federal.
I think one of the things that we want to get to, and I think the federal space needs to get to, is collaboration and sharing of that data across agencies. And that's where that architecture that you put in place becomes even more important, so you have common standards between the different agencies.
Listen to the entire discussion on Federal News Network. Search Hitachi Vantara Federal.
Hitachi Vantara Federal is built to support your mission and vision. We empower federal agencies in the digital domains that matter most: the data center, tactical and strategic data operations, and digital transformation. We bring together an unmatched portfolio of edge-to-core to cloud infrastructure, AI, and analytics that enable our customers' digital missions and propel our nation forward. Let us accelerate your data journey from infrastructure to advanced analytics. Contact Hitachi Vantara Federal today at hitachivantarafederal.com.
American Military University is recognized by the NSA as a National Center of Excellence for Cyber Defense Education and proudly serves our nation's cybersecurity community. AMU is at the forefront of cyber education, offering online bachelor's and master's degrees and certificates designed for the modern cyber warrior and respected by area employers. Programs are affordable and classes are monthly to fit your life. Start today at amuonline.com. AMU is part of American Public University System, which is certified to operate by CHEV.
Here's Lisa Shea Munt, the co-founder of the Pulse of GovCon on MarketChat, bringing clarity to the clutter in government marketing.
There's actually a really complicated and interwoven minefield of information that you have to navigate first in order to ensure that you are able to source, vet, and then bid on those contract opportunities. And that's why data is so important, because data is your guide through that minefield.
Listen to the whole program on federalnewsnetwork.com. Search MarketChat.
Government Marketing University is an innovative learning platform that applies a collaborative, community-based approach towards knowledge sharing and skills development in the field of public sector marketing. Experts from all corners of the U.S. public sector marketplace, marketers, thought leaders, government, media, and sales, are contributing their knowledge to this unique, content-rich platform. Government Marketing University offers training, research, certifications, mentoring, and community resources all in one place. Learn more at gmarku.com.
Latest updates for the armed services and defense contractors. Get our DoD Reporter's Notebook. Subscribe at Federal News Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Apptio on Federal News Network. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest today is Dave Bottom, the Chief Information Officer at the Securities and Exchange Commission. Dave, in the last segment, you mentioned DevOps, you mentioned Agile. So let's go down that path briefly. One of the things about DevOps and Agile is really understanding the way you have to drive costs back to the business centers and programs. What role does DevOps, clouds, telework, all that play in that discussion about really driving the costs back into the businesses?
We've actually had a concerted effort over the past year that I've been here. Certainly, you know, going to continue that as we come into finish 21 and go into 22 about adopting cloud services. And, you know, we made a conscious decision in terms of how we were setting up our environment to make sure that we had the right, you know, accounting, cost tracking mechanisms in place. So as we're working with the divisions and offices in the SEC to migrate or build new applications that will be running in our cloud environments, we can, you know, directly track those costs, you know, back to those applications. It probably wouldn't surprise you to know that, you know, in our on-prem environment, that is a shared service today, mostly because you know, we buy the hardwares and the storage and servers. We have a virtualization layer that sits on top of that. And, you know, we don't do a good job of tracking, well, we don't have a way to do it right now, you know, application costs in terms of segmenting hardware and software that we've bought that runs on-prem, whereas we do now as we, you know, we move into cloud. So, you know, that's, you know, one example of a cloud service that's there. It's designed to do that, right? As we convert from CapEx to OpEx and making a conscious decision about how we're connecting our cost tracking capabilities within the agency back to the CXO discussion with, you know, the capabilities that cloud has built in that we're adopting.
When you talk about the ability to track costs currently on-prem, it's not just a matter of saying, well, division X of SEC uses this application that runs on this piece of hardware because division Y also runs on that piece of hardware and division Z also runs on that piece of hardware. And how much of that hardware do they use? Is it 10%? Is it 20%? Who knows? That's the challenge, is the data is just not there for you to do that.
Yeah, that's right. And the incentive's not there necessarily either, right? I mean, if we've bought the hardware, you know, the idea, the car analogy again works for me. If I've bought the car, you know, I have every incentive to get as much, you know, use out of the car as possible, and then I'll recap it later. And that's the, you know, the idea here about, well, it's not as important to attract individual users of that hardware because I'm looking to get as much use out of that as I can. I own the car. As we move to cloud and managed services, I actually have the reverse incentive. I don't want to use that resource because I'm paying by the drink. So, you know, I want to really understand what my drivers are for those OpEx costs, which are almost always application they always are application and data related. So understanding that and then understanding, you know, what the mission and business needs are of that application and data are just critically important.
See, this is why we also tell our kids to turn off the lights when they leave the room, because that's costing me money. Now, I don't know about your kids, but my teenagers laughed at me when I do that. So I'm always going behind them and turning the lights off. I want to talk a little bit about the data piece since that came up. How is, by moving to the cloud, by moving to a more DevSecOps environment, how is data driving the ability to identify and address those cost factors, i.e. how do you turn off the lights behind your business folks?
It's both the logging capabilities that come with cloud today, and then setting up the right management structures actually to do something with that data. So one new role actually, if you know, from IT perspective, is actually, you know, somebody that's looking at our costs on a day-to-day basis in our cloud environments. We have not had to do that. We before in an on-prem world, because the incentive there is, well, I'm tracking, you know, recap of an asset. So we've actually, you know, instantiated a new role to keep track of those costs on a day-to-day basis, and then work with our application and data owners, which are new or newish roles in the agency. We've always had application owners, but you know, now they have the responsibility of worrying about turning the lights off, right? So, you know, that's a new, you know, back to your analogy, it's a new skill that we're having to teach folks, right? One is, yes, it's important to turn the lights off, and here's why, because we don't want the big electric bill at the end of the month. But it's also making sure that, you know, we let folks know that, yeah, you actually have to turn the lights off.
That role you talk about, does it have a cool name? Is it like, you know, did you call that person the dad or the mom of cloud services, the banker? What's the cool name?
That's a great point. We should come up with a cool name. I think right now it's cost manager. Maybe that's not to your point though. We should come up with a much cooler name than that. I'll put that out as a contest for folks.
You probably remember when we talked about vampire a couple of years ago, there's a big move to address vampire electricity usage, you know, technology that's on all the time that's just sucking electricity. So maybe they could be the anti-vampire officer or something. Dave, I want to talk a little bit more about talk about cost and understanding cost. And I got to bring up technology business management standards. There's been a big push from the Office of Management and Budget over the last 4, 5, 6 years to really begin to use TBM to really identify cost drivers, connect business operational plans, IT costs. Where is the SEC in applying TBM?
So I would say that, you know, as we've applied the standards, what we get the most out of it is that lexicon, right? So, you know, what does it mean to, in terms of application, how does that tie to, you know, what are the towers, how do the towers tie to the cost pools? So, you know, our CXOs that are partnered with us across the commission, you know, understand what the cost drivers are in terms of running IT infrastructure on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, that lexicon, I think, is just critically important. And the way that we depict that, I tend to like brief from pictures, and then you know, understanding what, you know, how much we're spending in each of the sections. So again, using the lexicon and the view there, and understanding what dollars we're spending in what area and why. Is extremely useful in getting the point across to our CXOs and the SEC. You're always going to get the question, right? And you want to make sure that you're sparking that conversation. It's still, well, why does it cost so much? Which is always an important question to ask. And we always need to be looking for those efficiencies. But, you know, using TBM in the way that we've allocated our budget and the way that we show it, makes that conversation easier to have.
When we start talking about connecting dollars to business and operational plans, does that also help the CXO community or help you make decisions? You know, it's almost like, if we could do that, but here's the cost drivers behind it, or we could do this and here's the cost drivers behind that. Is that starting to drive that decision, the budgeting, planning?
It is, and it does. So, you know, understanding what are, to your point, you know, what's the total cost to do something is an important thing to flesh out. Often, you know, if we do not use, you know, methodologies like what TBM brings to the table, we wouldn't be able to get that total cost of ownership or the total cost of the decision, because it's very easy to forget something. But having that linkage in place and making sure that we're asking the questions about if we make a decision about a particular application, or we want to bring in a new application, or, you know, we're making a decision about adding capacity. You know, we talked about people before. You know, do we need to add people, or do we need to add a digital platform at the top of the, you know, at the top of the TBM architecture? Understanding what those total costs are and dependencies in other areas really does help us make, maybe not the right, you know, I mean, it's always, you know, you want to make the right decision, but in large part, it's also making the best informed decision. So, you know, TBM from that perspective, I think is very useful.
I know some agencies are further ahead with TBM. Some are just kind of in that early stages. Where are you all with the use of TBM?
I'd characterize this as middle of the road. I mean, the way that we have our budget architected and segmented is pretty much along TBM standards. So I think that's good. You know, our organizational structure, just to tie it back to the, you know, tie back to the people part, you know, we are pretty functionally based within the IT organization. So, you know, working that connective tissue, you know, between, you know, understanding what the needs are of a digital platform against security and compliance is kind of where we're at right now, making sure that we understand, you know, the shared costs of something, connecting it to, you know, particularly the things that are at the top of the stack. What's top of mind for me right now is security and compliance, which is, I think, should always be top of mind. You know, what are the implications for that as we bring on additional platforms, as we bring on additional cloud services? So, you know, making sure that we're both doing our cost estimating and linking back to those cost estimates is where we're at right now. So, I'd say we're certainly middle of the pack.
Dave, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we can continue our conversation. My guest today is Dave Bottom, the Chief Information Officer at the Securities and Exchange Commission. I'm Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Aptio on Federal News Network.
Agencies are under cyber attack. That's undeniable. To respond, you must have knowledge of who and what's on the network and reliable tools engineered for advanced persistent threat detection. That's why Fortinet is offering complimentary access to its endpoint detection and response solution, FortaEDR, proven to block zero-day attacks and provide deep visibility into application processes and data flows. Mitigate cyber risk to your agency today with free access to FortaEDR. Contact Fortinet Federal at Fortinet.com.
At Maximus, we make complicated government programs simple. For 45 years, we've helped millions of Americans access vital programs that make families stronger, healthier, and more secure. And never has our work been more essential than right now, supporting the national COVID-19 response effort. To meet this challenge, Maximus has hired, trained, and deployed more than 6,000 work-from-home agents. We're working with the CDC and HHS, fielding thousands of calls and emails every day from people seeking answers and in need of testing, notifying people of their results, and providing related real-time geo-mapping to contact tracing. We're helping people obtain unemployment assistance benefits to provide for their families while they seek new jobs. Maximus, making a difference when it matters most.
It's only human to be there when it matters, to lift up the ones we care about and help them move forward. At Chevron, we believe everyone should have access to heat and light and the energy that lets us all lead fuller lives. So last year, we invested billions of dollars bringing more affordable, reliable, and ever cleaner energy to America. We know we can't solve every energy challenge overnight, but it's only human to try. Chevron, the human energy company.
Please join Luke McCormack on Tuesday, March 16th at noon for his monthly series, The Federal Executive Forum, proudly celebrating 16 years. This month's program will focus on data center and cloud optimization in government. The panel includes government leaders from the General Services Administration, the Department of Justice, and the Department of Homeland Security. Don't miss the Federal Executive Forum on Tuesday, March 16th at noon, right here on the Federal News Network, sponsored by Commvault, Enlight, and Nutanix.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Apptio on Federal News Network. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest today is Dave Bottom, the Chief Information Officer at the Securities and Exchange Commission. Dave, I want to jump forward. In the last segment, you talked a lot about TBM and the role of understanding the costs. Do you add capacity? Do you add digital platforms? What are the dependencies? How to make the best informed decision? One of the pieces to this discussion has got to be around, and you mentioned this early on, shared services, as well as working capital funds. I'm not sure if the SEC has a working capital fund per se, but walk me through how you're managing IT as a business through these, if you will, shared efforts to better capture the true cost of IT.
We do not have a working capital fund in the SEC. So, you know, the dollars that we are, you know, managing are appropriated dollars. So I would start there. You know, as we, you know, deal then with shared services, and this is always an important conversation to have with the leadership across the agency is, you know, a shared service to me, you know, is a decision about, well, what are you going to centralize and what are you not going to centralize? So it's the trade between being efficient and being effective, you know, because often that's the trade that you're making. So, you know, networks is kind of the quintessential example of that. You know, that is a shared service. It's designed, you know, to be a shared service. Certainly right now, you need connectivity to your cloud provider, you need connectivity to your on-prem data centers. So that's a shared service. And it's also a unique skill set. So hard to replicate in the business units. As you creep up the stack, then we make decisions and other shared services, touch on security and compliance. That's certainly a shared service because it's a skill set and it's something that doesn't make sense necessarily to replicate in the business. So, how we track the costs of that is really, well, how much do we need of that skill set? And then, what's our capacity that we want to have, let's say, on an annual basis? And those shared services become a throttle, but they're certainly a consideration for, the things that we want to do either modernization efforts or maintenance efforts or bringing things on new, that those do become constraints, if you will, that we have to understand. So it is certainly, I think, understanding the cost is important, but from my perspective, also understanding what the capacity is of the shared service is also just as important. And if we need to add capacity, that's certainly a cost. But where we're at right now, at least where I'm at, is really trying to understand what we can do to improve the capacity of our shared services without adding cost necessarily.
A lot of the shared services I think you're talking about is a lot of internal shared services. Are you looking external as well, whether for financial or HR? I know payroll, obviously, for the entire government's an external shared service. There's also the stuff from the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency. Yep. CISA has some shared services that they're starting to put out there for security stuff. Does that also play into the discussion about total costs, sharing of costs, and who's paying for it?
Yeah, it absolutely does, right? So, I mean, certainly at the macro level, you're absolutely right. The agency does not have its own timekeeping system. We leverage another agency's shared service to do that. A lot of our financial services are provided by another agency. So, you're absolutely right. Those decisions of, does it make sense for the agency to maintain its own capability or leverage, another department that has that capability and shares it out, is absolutely a consideration. And you're absolutely right. I mean, we're gonna, particularly with the QSMOs that OMB put into place, that trend, I think, is certainly gonna accelerate. And you're right, I think, to touch on, CISA's role now as a shared service provider, and that just touches on the point, we were on earlier about skill sets and we want to make sure that we're building, capacity in what area. And if we are, then, sharing that out, because, skills sometimes are hard, particularly specialized skills are hard to come by.
Maybe it's too early. So if it is, obviously let us know, but does the use of TBM, does the use of understanding what the business costs are, what's driving the business costs, does that play into a decision around shared services? Security is probably the best example, because you could go do a vulnerability disclosure platform on your own, but I could also buy it from CISA. And how do you kind of make that decision based on the business costs, based on other capacity costs and other considerations?
I think we're always going to look to not develop, right? That's not necessarily the first choice, right? We're always going to look to adopt somebody else's capability, particularly vulnerability platform area. I mean, we're certainly users of the CDM dashboard, so there are a lot of, those capabilities that we want to adopt or leverage as the first choice. The second choice then is to buy, right? That's, adopt a managed service, if you will, rather than to develop it on our own. However, if there is mission specific need where we do need to develop something, that's also the, an option that we'll go do, and we do. But we want to look at those two other choices first.
Dave, we've talked a lot about how are you dealing with budgeting and forecasting, how you're using data to drive those decisions. We're about a year into the pandemic. That threw a big old curveball into everybody's budgeting and forecasting, I'm sure. Walk me through how that pandemic really impacted your plans, the SEC's plans, to really get IT improved, changed, to add to it. What did you have to do differently over the last year?
I guess I'd start where the SEC is actually a pretty remote workforce already, even prior to the pandemic. If you think about a lot of the agency's work, either in examinations or enforcement, it's with the folks that we're examining. It's with in courtrooms. It's outside of the office. So luckily, luckily is a good term, but we had the infrastructure in place to actually enable remote work. It certainly got more of a workout. As we've gone throughout the year, but we've had the culture in place where people and the tools that folks could use. So it was mostly, in that regard, it was actually just using it more and certainly making adjustments in terms of, how we culturally interact, do knowledge management, bring people on board, So that's that's been the adjustments, I think, over this past year, adapting the, you know, the technology that we have. We're on Zoom right now. So how does that work when you're onboarding? I have a gonna interview a potential new hire in a little bit. We'll be on, you know, video conferencing as well. So you know, adapting, I think, has been, you know, the challenge over the course year, and making sure that technology, people understand the technology and the tools that are available to them and are adapting. And I have to tell you, from an SEC perspective, you know, people have been wonderful about doing that. That said, you know, that it has changed our stance. You know, we've shifted a little bit, I think, as everybody else has, in terms of, well, you know, we had some cybersecurity things that we were looking to do that we've shifted now towards, well, let's make sure our remote connectivity is as secure as we could possibly make it. We had some plans to do, you know, recap of infrastructure in our offices, whether they're out in throughout the rest of the country or, you know, here in DC, that, well, maybe it doesn't make sense to do that those types of upgrades right now. We want to actually make sure that we're investing those dollars in, you know, remote work capabilities, cybersecurity capabilities, you know, knowing that folks are going to be continuing to work remote certainly for a while longer yet. And then probably, you know, we'll be in the hybrid world where folks are going to be working sometimes in the office, sometimes from home, but always in another location.
So it sounds to me like you've had to maybe do some realignment of resources to meet different mission goals, as you said, remote working, cyber working. Where did the TBM, the data, kind of play into those decisions? Or maybe it didn't, because they were pretty straightforward decisions.
You know, what we had to do was pretty clear. Going back to the point of and where the value of TBM is, you know, what are the investments that we need to make in areas all up and down the stack in order to make that happen, right? So for our purposes, you know, just interestingly enough, right, going back to the network example, you know, we found early on, as a lot of agencies did, we actually didn't have enough phone lines coming into our data centers, right? So, you know, people, you know, because our phone design was, you know, well, most people were calling out, they weren't calling in to our on-prem capabilities, particularly as we got going with video conferencing. We had to change that. So we actually had to, you know, enable an awful lot of phone capacity to deal with that change in usage pattern. There were investments we needed to make in other areas, actually, to make that happen. We talked about labor, we talked about security and compliance. You know, we talked about in the TBM cost pools where we have, you know, servers and storage. You know, understanding all of that and the investments and changes that you need to make in all of those areas to provide that mission capability, I think is certainly the value of TBM, and then being able to communicate that back to the CXOs.
Dave, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we can continue our conversation. My guest today is Dave Bottom, the Chief Information Officer at the Securities and Exchange Commission. I'm Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Apptio on Federal News Network.
News impacting feds and contractors, plus Mike Causey's unique perspective on pay, benefits, and retirement. Subscribe to the Morning Federal Report at Federal News Network.
Here's Amber Hart, the co-founder of the Pulse of GovCon on MarketChat, bringing clarity to the clutter in government marketing.
You're looking at not only the vendor side of the story, but the federal workforce side of the story. When you're looking at that kind of data for the people, it's not only who are the drivers and the deciders of these things, but who's your competition or who's your possible teammates?
Listen to the whole program on federalnewsnetwork.com. Search Market Chat.
Government Marketing University is an innovative learning platform that applies a collaborative, community-based approach towards knowledge sharing and skills development in the field of public sector marketing. Experts from all corners of the U.S. public sector marketplace, marketers, thought leaders, government, media, and sales, are contributing their knowledge to this unique, content-rich platform. Government Marketing University offers training, research, certifications, mentoring, and community resources all in one place. Learn more at gmarku.com.
The future of identity, credential, and access management in government relies on ensuring only secure users and devices have access to your agency's critical applications and data. Security and IT modernization need to meet strict security and compliance requirements. Tune in Wednesday, March 17th at 12 noon to hear executives from the State Department, NASA, the Office of Management and Budget, and the Defense Manpower Data Center discuss strategies and thoughts on identity, credential, and access management in a diverse federal arena. Wednesday, March 17th at 12 noon. Sponsored by Duo Security.
This is Mark Amtower. My show, Amtower Off-Center, brings you the best and brightest minds in government sales, marketing, and business development who share insights to help you grow your business. How to make content marketing work for you, advice for channel players on how to win more government business, and the real scoop on selling from GWACs and IDIQs. Tune in Mondays at noon on Federal News Network or subscribe to Amtower Off-Center on iTunes or Podcast One.
When we need help, we turn to government. When government needs help, they turn to Federal News Network. Federal News Network, helping feds meet their mission.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Apptio on Federal News Network. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest today is Dave Bottom, the Chief Information Officer at the Securities and Exchange Commission. If we spent most of the show so far talking about costs and TBM and how you're kind of managing the business side of it, I want to jump into some other things. What are some of your other priorities? What are some of the big goals you're trying to get done over the next 6 or 9 months?
Certainly making sure that the agency has the resources and the capability that it needs to continue to be effective. You know, so a big push over the next, 6 to 9 months to certainly be able to leverage, the data that the commission has, make sure that particularly when you're thinking about what's happening in the market today with GameStop, AMC, understanding, what is actually happening, and then, making the appropriate policy decisions from that is certainly a focus for me. So steering right back to, cloud and data analytics, putting those capabilities into the hands of users so that they can better do their jobs is, certainly a focus, over the 6 to 9 months. So we'll be accelerating that area. We touched on remote work capabilities. So again, another reason to go to cloud is, folks, at least for the next couple of months here, will be working out of their homes. So, we want to make sure that they have the computing capacity needed because by and large, it won't be on their laptop. So, and that's going to come from, cloud services. So, that's certainly going to be a focus over the 6 to 9 months is doing that faster. So that's certainly the predominant one. Always with an eye towards, it's certainly what's, the issues of the day with respect to supply chain security, making sure that we have the right controls in place from a, data integrity and data security standpoint are certainly important. They're going to continue to be important. So that's, certainly the other focus area. And then, of course, we always want to make sure that folks are able to do their day-to-day jobs. So that's going to continue to be the third area. The fourth area, as I talked about, is a big focus on people. So we talked earlier about adopting Agile, DevOps. We want to make sure that, we have the training capabilities in place for folks to be able to take advantage of that and to be able to adopt new skills. So that's the other priority area, certainly over the next six to nine months.
All right, a couple of things to dig out from that. Let me start with cloud data analytics piece, because the SEC, as you know very well, is a big data agency. Everything you do is about the data. Currently, and maybe it's, give me maybe a percentage or some sort of way to quantify how much are you in the cloud already? How much do you expect to be in the cloud? And then we'll get to the data stuff.
We are in the cloud today. We absolutely have taken advantage of a number of cloud services today. That said, I think we're at the 20-25% if you look at our overall workload that's in a managed service provider today. So that's where we are. Over the next couple of years, this past year and what we're doing right now is what I would call laying the foundation, both people, process, and technology to accelerate that. So we'll certainly be working that migration hard the rest of this year into next year. By year three, going back to the three-year budget planning process we talked about, I think, we'll be in the 80% range, with in the 20% we'll be on-prem. And why is that? That there are capabilities that the SEC has and needs to maintain that don't really make sense to have in an OpEx environment. But for the most part, the agency's needs can be best met by having capabilities that are in an OpEx environment.
And I think most agencies will agree the hybrid approach is going to be there for quite a long time, if not forever. So I think that's a good example of, if you can get 80% in the cloud and make life easier, that's a pretty good accomplishment. Because the other piece of it is the data, right? You're gonna have so much data, you're collecting so much data, you're gonna have more powerful tools to process that data. We could talk about artificial intelligence, machine learning, predictive analytics, all those things are better, it seems to be run in the cloud. So where are you today? I know years ago, I spoke with the SEC CIO and the data warehouse, the data lake concept was big.
Yep.
I imagine you still have it, but are you adding tools on top of it? How are you making analysis easier for the non-data people, non-data scientist people?
The data lake concept is definitely still here. It makes a lot of sense. When you think about it, right? So, whether we're making rulemaking decisions, or whether we're doing examinations or enforcement, or doing economic analysis and posting all of that, either findings or data for the public, having internal to the SEC, having people to be able to access the same data, makes a lot of sense. We want to make sure that we have the appropriate safeguards around that from a mission use and certainly appropriate use part of that, but a big part of that is making data usable and discoverable across the commission. So certainly the data lake concept is in full effect, and yes, and we'll continue to have that enterprise data warehouse. That's the moniker for that as that concept going forward. That said, that enterprise data warehouse is going to live in a cloud environment, because we have a need to be able to scale up and scale down depending on what the issue of the day is. So I don't think to your earlier point, we are certainly going to always have more data. Making sure that we can store that data as cheaply as possible, yet still access it, make sense from a cost perspective. So you're certainly right about the data as being a key driver for our cloud strategy.
And then the tools that will live on top of that or in the cloud, the business intelligence type tools, the analytics tools, are there certain ones you're saying, hey, we're going to look out for or try to bring into the SEC in 2021 and beyond?
I think, that the tools that, certainly things that help the various folks around the agency understand the data and how the data connects to events is certainly going to be important for us. certainly one area. I think that tools that are directly, as I talked about, related to managing a data warehouse, certainly in our data pipeline, to make that a more automated process in terms of normalizing data as it comes in, and then doing those ETL, extract, transport, load tasks for the various departments that are using data. We want to make sure that we're automating that pipeline to the max extent that we can, and then making sure that we're doing the right things from a security and compliance standpoint. So those are capabilities that we're certainly looking to invest in for the commission. We're always looking to invest in analytic tools, in terms of understanding, again, helping our whether enforcements or exams or DERA, which is our research arm, understand the data that's coming in and help them to make decisions. We're always on the lookout for those types of capabilities.
Dave, I see we're just about out of time. Before I let you go, just got to ask the question. A lot of vendors are going to listen to this and want to know how they can help you. What's the one recommendation you'd have for vendors in terms of how to work with your office?
Yeah, give me a call.
Now you've opened yourself up, but okay.
I've opened myself up, but the, you know, we do have quite, you know, our, you know, primary vehicle for services is what we call our one IT, IDIQ. So that's our kind of our, you know, main mechanism for bringing services, you know, to the SEC. You know, we do have, you know, our Office of Acquisitions does sponsor, you know, a number of industry engagements. So, you know, certainly always willing to sit down with the, you know, with folks that have ideas in terms of how to make the SEC more successful.
All right, well, very good. Dave, this has been a fascinating conversation. I really appreciate your time. So let me thank my guest, Dave Bottom, the Chief Information Officer at the Securities and Exchange Commission. Dave, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks, Jason. It was great talking with you this morning.
I'm Jason Miller, and you've been listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Aptio, on Federal News Network.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Network. Tune in Thursday mornings at 10 or subscribe to this show on iTunes or Podcast One.